The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Project Independence and You, Community Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Christina Lou. And it's a very unusual day because Otto Loos, who has been the co-host most of the time for the last year, is away enjoying himself. Rebecca Miller, who also helps out on occasions as either host or co-host, is also away. And so today it's actually a pleasure because Christina is not going to only be the co-host. She's the director. Dan's the director, but she is the producer and organizes everything. And so it's really, and I haven't seen anybody in a couple of weeks. So first of all, Christina, happy to see you.
Happy to see you too.
It's going to be great. And we have a wonderful, wonderful show today. There's an awful lot going on in this country right now. We're not going to get into the politics of it with the Olympics going on and these hearings that are going on in Washington. And our goal here is to stay local and to try to help the people locally as best we can. And towards that, we have a wonderful, wonderful guest today. We have Christine Pusateri with us today. And Christine is a speech pathologist. And with COVID going on, with masking going on, with people with poor hearing, poor speech, there are just a multitude of things that we're not paying attention to, but unfortunately impact our life on a daily basis. And today, we're going to be asking Christine to share some of the ideas that she is working with her clients on and that we as listeners and actually viewers of this program will be able to benefit from. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning. How are you, John?
Very, very good. And it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. What I want to do to start this off is we want to learn about Christine. Okay. And we know what you do. Why do you do it? How did you get here? What was the spark that at one point in your life you said, I want to go towards helping people and speech is where I want to go?
You know, it's actually a funny story because I think a lot of times when we work towards something, a goal when we're younger, we don't always understand that there are these changes that happen. I was a fine art major. I was doing art and sculpture and painting. And the first time I ran into a young kid, I was probably 17 or 18, with an augmentative communication device that we call a PEC system, which is a picture exchange system. And I saw how the visual supports of art and drawing support an individual in their ability to communicate.
I'm going to interrupt you already. What do you mean a picture system? I didn't get what you meant.
So in other words, if there was a picture of the word out, or a picture of the word car, and they wanted to go out to the car, they would point to the picture of out and to the car. This individual had cerebral palsy, but it's something that we utilize frequently with individuals who have limited verbal communication, but have the ability to request things, and their ability to, honestly, there are some individuals who are so high in their ability to use these systems now, because augmentative systems have grown since I was 17 years old. This was initially when I was 17, and I said, wow, wait. So we can use visual to support communication. When I went to grad school, I was so impressed with what our field was doing. Our field in speech and language pathologies covers so many different features. We have the opportunity to help people from the time they're born to the time that they're elderly in every range of communication, feeding, hearing. You know, this is what we do. We also have to advocate for them because more often than not, it's one of those situations where you're stressing that this is really important for this individual to have, whether it be an augmentative device or a hearing aid, very important that they have this. And you have to really reach out to either insurance companies or school districts. Your job, your role is to advocate for that individual to have the most functional life that they can have at that moment. So that's the dual purpose of a speech pathologist.
Okay. What you said also is so very important, because people need these services and they are not readily available. And many times you don't realize you need it until after the fact, that you didn't realize you're not hearing properly. You didn't realize you're not speaking properly. And therefore the message you are trying to put across is not being received. And this is my opinion. So you think the person is not acknowledging you. They don't know what you're talking about. They're really not understanding you.
It's very, I think also at this time, and I have to be very honest, you know, I worked with adults when I first came out of grad school, specifically people with neurological disorders, you know, MS, ALS. These are all neurological conditions that negatively impact a person's ability to communicate. What I was lucky enough was to see how we can support a person through the continuum of their life cycle. So it's not just when they're younger that they need the speech teacher at school. It's as they grow and as they mature. And we're pretty lucky that way.
That's the most important part of it, that in today's society, and we've, Christine and I have talked about this, in today's society, we have to be advocates for everybody. There is stuff out there. And that's one of the most enjoyable things I've had having conversations with Christine, because you don't know what you're missing until somebody tells you what you're missing. You know, you don't know what you hear, or what you don't hear, rather, excuse me. And you don't know what you're not communicating if the person's not acknowledging you. And so from my understanding of what you do, Christine, I think it's absolutely amazing. Because it's not just teaching somebody, it's communicating with them through the whole thing. It's being part of their life.
And being part of a community. So part of what happens is you want that individual out in the community, and you want them participating in whatever activity they want to do. Whether it be a kid asking for his ice cream cone and going up to Mr. Softy and utilizing his augmentative device to request what type of ice cream he wants versus somebody just handing him a cone, but I don't like chocolate. You know, and that's sort of, I wanted vanilla. It's sort of really important from the time they're a child to as an adult. One of the things that we also try and do is we encourage, depending on where that person is, to be as active in the community as possible with their communication structures. So if you have an individual who, let's say, is a teenager and has a disfluency issue, which is when they stutter, well, let's find social groups for you. Let's find it where you could practice your skill and move from there. And let's make sure that you're comfortable in doing that. And we encourage them to be part of a community. The same way we look at adults who have other issues, whether it be social communication issues because of a hearing impairment that they're beginning to start with and they're a little nervous about, we bring them together. I actually work a lot with feeding. So believe it or not, speech pathologists work with feeding a lot. Anything within, you know, when you have a newborn and you're dealing with some feeding issues, all the way up to school age and all that. We also have adults who have, it's a different specific area of their feeding issue, but all of this is related to speech and language services.
I have to back up a bit, Christine. When you talk about young children and feeding, I don't understand that with speech pathology.
So what happens is anything within the oral structure, so in other words, the oral structure and then goes into the pharynx, and then everything that we want to eat should go into our stomach, right? The issue is sometimes, unfortunately, it goes into the lungs, and it's called aspiration. Children can get very sick by that. What we try and do, especially young children, we're talking about infants, and typically there's some neurological disorder or that they're low tone. Low muscle tone means they might be strong, but they don't have the ability to control that muscle motor movement. It's very specific because they probably can tolerate a thicker consistency rather than a thinner consistency. And it takes a lot of testing and documentations and trials. Now, if we move forward through the spectrum of a life cycle, if we have an adult who all of a sudden starts developing issues and having difficulty swallowing, we have to readdress that and say, what's going on? Is there a problem in the oral stage, which is where they're chewing the food? Maybe their dentures aren't right. Maybe we need to assess what's going on there. Maybe we need to go back and have a dentist look at them and maybe make sure that they're doing okay. Maybe they need additional testing. It's really about working with a team. The speech pathologists don't work alone. We always have backup. We have doctors. We have other people who work on our team to support that individual. It can't just be you and that individual, because we really need that data to show what's going on with that individual as they're swallowing.
I think the one thing that's coming across here this morning, and, you know, we're talking speech pathology, but it is just a multitude of issues it actually touches upon. You know, what you're telling me right now is 100% new to me, which makes sense, because I'm not a speech pathologist, but I had no idea. And what actually upsets me a little bit is the fact that a person is going through this many times and it's almost not being acknowledged. You know, whether it's a feeding thing or something like that, people aren't paying attention. I mean, you go to the Gujuma man with the truck. You know, he's not paying attention to the boy or girl. It just is not getting it across what they're trying to do. And he's basically saying, hurry up. There's somebody else behind you online. And now that poor little boy or girl, or the parent who is with that boy or girl, walks along, moves along. I'm not saying depressed, but a little bit like...
Yes, yeah, some of that somebody energy is taken away from them. And that's part of why, as a speech pathologist, I step in, I smile, and I'm like, okay, it's his turn. You need to wait. Yeah. And truly, like 2 weeks ago, I did that in an ice cream truck. But the thing is, honestly, people are very kind. I don't mean to put this out there like, yes, maybe the ice cream man doesn't understand initially. But once you make that initial statement of like, I need to work on this with this individual. Okay, got it. No problem. But it's hard for parents. It's really hard for parents. And it's also hard for the children of the parents. So in other words, that sandwich generation, there's a lot of struggles for them. We're pretty lucky in the sense that we, you know, obviously I step up and I integrate and I'm like, here, what am I doing? Let's fix this. Let's make this a better situation for you. How can I do that? If anybody knows me, they know I pull out visuals all the time. Like, I could have visuals for different things, but you know, I'm pretty lucky. I love my job.
It's amazing. And as I said, from my very first conversation with you several months ago, it came across you love your job. And what we're going to do right now, we're going to have to take our first break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on Community Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We will be right back.